Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Sarah Keogh, registered dietitian at eatwell.ie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's get back to bread and butter issues now. Look, Sarah, everyone's obsessed with the gut these days. I feel there's a lot of half-baked, non-expert microbiome gut advice going around, and you're a great person to cut through the kind of myths and the simplistic online stuff. So you're going to tell us a bit today about the actual science of the microbiome. What is the microbiome and where is it? I imagine it's like the cloud. Is it kind of
a little bit like that? Most of it lives in your gut. We have a little bit of sort of microbiome all over the body, in the sense that we have bacteria on our skin that are actually good, in our mouth, in our stomach and so on. But when we talk about the gut microbiome, we're really focusing in on the bacteria that live mainly in your large bowel. And it's bacteria, it's also viruses, fungi, little parasites, a whole sort of world that lives inside us. And there's actually more cells in your gut microbiome than there is in the whole of your body.
And what does it do for us if it's working well?
So when it's working well, it does a couple of things. It helps to digest some of the food that we eat. So when we eat particularly foods like fibre is undigestible by humans, but when it gets into our large bowel, bacteria in the bowel digest that, and they make some really important things out of it. So they will make, it's a bit of a name, so bear with me, short-chain fatty acids, which are a very important nutrient that actually feeds your gut lining. And they also produce enzymes that help to produce some of your vitamins, so B12 and vitamin K. A lot of those will be produced in your gut as well.
And are we born with a particular microbiome?
No, we're born sterile. So there's no bacteria in there at all. But during sort of vaginal delivery, during breastfeeding, during feeding as the baby is just going along, those bacteria make their way into the gut. And so we set that up, you know, really quite quickly after being born. We have those
bacteria. And is it the whole environment starts feeding into it then?
Pretty much whatever you're exposed to, because we have slightly different gut bacteria depending on where in the world you live. So just depending on what's around there. And then, of course, once you start into feeding and weaning and things like that, you're introducing new foods. And our food isn't sterile, so that kind of feeds into the gut then as well.
And is the gut connected to the brain? You hear it, the microbiome and the gut referred to as the second brain.
So what's going on there is that there's huge nerve connections between the gut and the brain. And there's a great deal of research looking at the impact that that might have on brain health and things like mood and depression. Now, we're a long way off really understanding that. But what we do know is that some of the bacteria in our gut are producing compounds in there, and it looks like they're having an effect on the nervous system and may have an effect on mood as well. So there's a lot of research looking at potential links around depression and anxiety and other issues.
But we're not
like
there
that.
Yet, no?
Not there.
Because you
yet.
Do see it stated as fact. Like
you see it stated as fact. Now, to be honest, it probably will be turn out to be very solidly. But one of the things that the gut bacteria do, some of them produce serotonin, or they produce sort of precursors for it. And serotonin is often called your happy hormone. Mm. And originally we would have thought of serotonin just being made in the brain, but we now know that most of it is actually made in the gut, and that healthy gut bacteria are a big part of that. So that's where the influence really in terms of mood comes in.
So what do we know about the microbiome and health conditions that we didn't know a few years ago?
So one of the big things, and probably one of the first things that was looked at, was the role in the immune system. That we know that your gut bacteria are actually very important in, one of the big things they actually do is they help to teach your immune system not to overreact, because we don't want the immune system launching sort of a big reaction to every single thing.
The cytokine storm thing we used
to
do.
Yeah, all of that. COVID, so we know that those gut bacteria help to reduce inflammation both in the gut and throughout the body. We know that they help in terms of managing certain infections that might come into the body. So they're a really big support system for your immune system. And that's why you would have seen some of the original products that would have been on the market talking about things like probiotics would have had a focus on the immune side of the gut microbiome.
Okay. Probiotics, do you buy into them?
So yes and no. So probiotics are like medicines. So you have to think of a probiotic in the sense of, what do I want it to do? So is it for pain relief? Is it for cholesterol lowering? You know, that way. So lots of people just pop a probiotic without ever thinking, well, what's it for? As a dietitian, I would use them a good bit in my work, because some of them have really good clinical research to show, for example, that they might help to reduce diarrhea or support constipation or manage conditions with, or help manage conditions like things like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. But there is such a huge amount of them on the market at the moment that I would love, certainly for quite a few of them, substantially more research, particularly when they can be quite pricey. So I would say a if someone is thinking about taking a probiotic, take the time and go and see a registered dietitian and actually get some proper advice about what it is you might actually need it for.
Okay, how do I know if I have a problem with the microbiome or I need to worry about it? I know you can get these tests now, can't you, where you,
you
send
can.
Away a,
no.
A sample and stuff? No.
Do you know what? Years ago, there was a big fad for everybody to get their food intolerances tested. Now, there's no good test for those, unfortunately, but everyone was coming in getting these tests done. And people used to say to me, how do I know if I have a food intolerance? And I'd be like, well, what are your symptoms? And they'd say, I don't have any. I was like, well, then you don't have a food intolerance. So if your gut's feeling okay, you don't really need to go investigating it. If you are having gut issues, though, before you go down the route of kind of these microbiome testing and stuff like that, you go and see your doctor. You rule out things like Crohn's disease, celiac disease, all of that. And then if all of that is ruled out, you go and you see a registered dietitian who is gut trained, who is a gut expert. And there's a huge amount that we can do when we actually get to you.
Okay, so then in terms of maintenance, we hear a lot about how we keep the microbiome diverse these days. Mediterranean diet?
To be honest, not just the Mediterranean diet is actually a very healthy way of eating, but what it is, it's a, you know, a diet that has lots of fruit and veg, lots of fibre, lots of whole grains.
30 plants a week, I think.
That was a good book.
Spectre.
Yeah, what we do see is that if you're eating more variety in different types of fibre coming in, but it's healthy eating at any stage. It doesn't necessarily have to be Mediterranean. That's one approach with it, you know, but it's really the main thing is putting fruit and veg and whole grains and pulses and seeds because...
Your usual stuff.
Do you notice it comes down to a lot of basic stuff because what it is different bacteria like different kinds of fibre. So what's really good is if you can get different mixtures in. Now, if you're not good on it, just getting any fibre in is good. But if you can get a little more variety in, you know, seeds for cereal, whole grain breakfast cereals, whole grain bread, you know, swapping out lots of different fruit and veg through the day, we see that that has a gorgeous beneficial effect on the gut bacteria.
What about fermented foods and kombucha and all that? That's all gut,
yeah,
so gut friendly, I think.
Gut friendly is a nice term. And, you know, again,
doesn't mean anything, is it?
Well, what I would do, again, I'd love to see more research around some of the huge claims that are there. But what we do know in general is that if you're eating fermented foods of any type, it's beneficial to the gut and it increases the variety of gut bacteria for it. So everything from cheese and yogurt through to things like kefir and kombucha look like they're going to have a benefit there.
Okay, so is the Christmas eating season that we're heading into earlier every year now, is that like annihilation for the gut?
To be honest, it's not what you add in at that stage. Like the fact that you might eat a bit more chocolate or crisps or things like that isn't the problem. The problem is that when you do start eating a lot more treat foods, you eat less fibre. So that's what I tend to see when people say, oh, I get really bloated at Christmas. Most of it is actually their fibre disappears because, you know, they might be out for dinner or they might be, you know, having more treats and things like that. And so they're not
okay,
having
so
their
fruit
and veg.
Okay, so we can have what we want as long as we add in
pretty
the fibre back into it.
Pretty much. Okay, it's one way to go.
And alcohol? Which I feel is like an atom bomb for the microbiome myself.
It doesn't usually get all the way down to the gut, but it can have an impact. It does sort of play with the gut a little bit. Alcohol is actually a laxative in terms of the bowel. So if you do drink a good bit, it can have that effect on it. So certainly for some people, if they are having an impact with the gut, it's one to watch. And alcohol also, it kind of damages the lining of your stomach as well. You know, one of the reasons people get sick when they drink too much is that it's irritating to the lining of the stomach. So that's another reason just from a digestive point of view to keep a lid on it.
There was one other thing I want to ask you about. A lot of people will be starting to take antibiotics now this time of the year. Should we take a probiotic if we're taking an antibiotic? Or?
Not necessarily. So there was an idea that if you take antibiotics, it changes your gut bacteria. But what we know now is it's pretty temporary and that once you kind of get back to your normal healthy eating, it seems to be fine.
Okay. This is like Richard Hogan on the parenting. Calm down, everyone. Yeah?
Oh, but please, just normal healthy eating and just relax, to be honest.
All right. Registered dietitian Sarah Keogh of eatwell.ie. Always full of common sense. Thank you very much.